Ah, the loneliness of the field goal kicker. You're either a hero or a zero, right? And it sucks, you know? And the Bills somehow managed to corner that market on zeros, evidently. Poor Tyler Bass. You know, and it just, I'm sure it instantly just took everybody back to 88 or 90, whatever year that was when Scott Norwood went wide right. But hey, man, you know, the kicker is the hero. Well, he's not a hero if he misses the field goal, obviously. But if he makes it, shit, man, the quarterback's the hero. That fucking sucks. You know what I mean? Like, in regard to field goal kickers, like that, I could do that. I could do exactly what Tyler Bass did, but my skills are more put to better use, maybe as a long snapper. But damn, you know, when the kicker, you know, when he misses, everybody remembers. But when he makes it, it's usually the quarterback, I think, that really gets kind of the credit, you know, or it usually comes back to them. Like, take, for example, like, five of the six Super Bowl wins for the Patriots were decided on a kick. I know, let's see, 1, 2, 3. At least 3, right? But who gets the credit? You know, we don't go, oh man, Adam Vinatieri was ice water in his vein. I mean, people did say that, but you don't look back and go, oh God, if it wasn't for Adam Vinatieri, you know, the Patriots wouldn't have won in anything. But shit, that guy was making field goals in snow against the Raiders in 2002, you know, and he was making, I mean, just clutch, just against the Rams when they won their first Super Bowl. You know, and then that shootout with the Panthers in their second win. What was the final score? 32-29? 3-point difference, right? And then the same with the Eagles, I think, was 24-21. I mean, let's find out.
Let's take a look-see here. If it'll allow me, if the World Wide Web would allow me.
Let's see. New England Patriot Super Bowl wins go. Okay. People also ask, which three Super Bowls did the Patriots lose?
Well, if you must know.
Let's see.
They lost to the Eagles and then the Giants twice, but that's under Brady. Because they also lost under Steve Grogan in the 85 Super Bowl against the Bears when they just got their shit pushed in it. I think it was like 55-10 or something. But that was a great team, the Bears. That was a fucking lights out team, you know. You got Walter Payton. You got you know, Mike Ditka leading the charge. I mean, that guy will probably get you to run through a brick wall, you know. And then they lost against the Packers. The Brett Favre, 96? 97? What year was that? Something like that.
So they've lost five, but they've won six. And, you know, and this, let's see, the Steelers have won six. Let's see, they've lost. Let's see, how many of the Steelers lost? They've lost. They lost one to the Packers, I believe, right? Didn't Aaron Rodgers beat them? And did they lose another one? Oh, yeah, against the Cowboys. In the 90, that was 95 or 96. So they've lost two and they've won six. Yeah, boy. But
getting back on course here.
Let's see. New England Patriots Super Bowl wins history. Let's see. So, yeah. Their first win in 02 against the Rams, 20-17. Their second win, they missed the following year. They even though they tied for the best record in their in the AFC East with the Jets and the Dolphins, I think the Jets ended up getting the conference win, the division win. But so, but in 04 against the Panthers, 32-29, 3-point difference. Yeah, so and then 05 the next year, so they won 3 out of 4 years at that point. And then, so they're, yeah, so it's 24-21 over the Eagles. Ha-ha. And then they skipped 10 years. And they beat the Seahawks. That came down to an interception. They beat the Falcons in overtime. The only Super Bowl to go to overtime. So that's, yeah, that's, no, that's five. Oh, yeah, and then they beat the Rams again. 13-3 or something. So, yeah, 13-3. But those first three... was that was a field goal. That was a difference of a field goal. So that, but when you look back on it, you don't go, oh, what, Adam Vinatieri. No, you go Tom Brady, the Patriots, Bill Belichick, you know, strategy, schemes, all that shit. But I don't know, that's rough. That is a rough ending, you know, and it was. I don't know. I mean, God, that was a bad whiff, too, man. I mean, that just, it was instantly, like, no good. Like, it wasn't even a question. Like, you're like, oh, it's almost, yeah. Oh. Nope. Not at all. Not any sequence of that verbiage came to light, right? But, but again, if they miss it, it's like, oh, yeah, I remember Scott Norwood, that fucking bum. I remember Tyler Bass, you know? Yeah, because they usually make, I mean, I guess they usually make it. But anyway, moving on, whatever. So we, fuck. So it was a good weekend for football. Poor Josh Allen, our boy Josh Allen from Fireball, by way of University of Wyoming. Just fuck. He's just got to be punching himself in the dick right now. You know, like, what do I got to do to beat these guys? What do I got to do to beat Mahomes? Man, and that's going to be a good game. That AFC Championship is going to be a fucking good game. Wow. Ravens Chiefs in Baltimore. So that's two. That's back to back road games for Mahomes. So he kind of dispelled any myth or rumor that he, you know, that he uses home field advantage to his benefit. But that, yeah, I mean, the great ones don't, and he's one of the great ones. He could probably be one of the only, really one of the only guys to break any of Brady's records. I mean, so he's got two Super, like, Brady's got seven Super Bowls, man, and he's got two. And then, but, man, he's got to get through Baltimore this next weekend. fucking no worry. Oh, geez, dude. I can't believe all that. But the game, the real game is going to be fucking Lions, Niners. No Bears. Oh, my. Oh, geez, Tina. Man, Lions, and then Lions looked pretty good. Bucks look really good. Bucks look better than they had all season, but it still just wasn't enough. Maybe, Lions are a team of destiny, potentially, right? And that's in, That's why they play the game. That's going to be interesting. We'll see. We'll see what happens with old Jared Goff. I like him. I kind of always liked him, you know? That would be a good shootout. Him and if for some reason Mahomes beats the Ravens, which he could, you know. Lamar Jackson's no stranger to laying an egg in the postseason. But he looked good. I mean, he looked really good. The Bills just can't get past being a bill, right? Fuck. Like, there's got to be some compensation for, you know, living in Buffalo. Jesus. But anyway, moving on. So, Monday, in an effort to, I guess to get out and enjoy, I don't know, I wanted to take my producer daughter, Vanessa, to do something for her birthday. Her birthday's coming up, so we were kind of like racking our brains and thought, we're gonna go to a fucking Kings game, you know what I mean? And, I'd never been in the Golden One Center. I'd been in Arco Arena several times. I'd seen a few games there. That was always a lively, raucous place. I'd also worked there one day. My very first job when I worked for REI on a one-day sale out at Arco Arena. It was at Arco Arena, which is now there's nothing there anymore. They've got some of the original archway, the entrance to the stadium, I think, but not. I think they knocked down the rest of it. But so Golden One Center now is where, all the big musical acts will come play, and I don't know. They have all kinds of functions there. Are they doing the monster truck? Because they did like a monster truck thing at Arco Arena. Anyway, so, but I've never been there for anything. And I thought to myself, well, that's, even if you're not a huge basketball fan, and I'm, I like postseason, but the regular season NBA has its moments. But the energy is good. And what I felt was it. I like it, particularly there. It's Sacramento is a good basketball town, particularly because they don't have any other sports. So they put all their eggs in that one basket, man, and they get after it. So they got the cowbells, you know, and they're waving the cowbells because there's, you know, it's a cow town, and I think it's funny, and it's kind of a response to, like, I think LA kind of crapping on them, calling them a cow town. So let's bust out them cowbells. You call me a redneck, I'm gonna do redneck things. You call me dumb, I'm gonna do dumb things. And my lady's too much. So she's doing quite well, but she's also kind of fire and brimstone, kind of like a sign of the beast. We don't want any, you know, microchips in our brain and shit like that. Like, this whole Neuralink thing is gonna fucking send her around the bend, right?
But because I'm like, you know what? There's like monkeys that are playing Pong on YouTube with their brains, dear. She's like, sign of the beast. I'm like, wait, what? Hey, pump the brakes there, girl. You know, I mean, I don't know what constitutes sign of the beast. I mean, it could be anything. You know, you could kind of fashion it however you want, you know. I mean, religious minds have a way of kind of shaping things in whatever direction they feel necessary, I guess, right? But like when Galileo said that we go around the sun and not vice versa, man, they locked his ass up. Said bullshit it does. And that came from those wacky Catholics. You gotta love them, and cardinals and all those guys, all those little pedophiles. But so at the end of the game, they do this thing called light the beam. And I don't know. I mean, if you're into basketball, particularly if you're into Kings basketball, you know what that is. That's what they do when they win. They light this purple beam, and it's kind of right center court, and it's just this big long phosphorescent just light, this purple light that just blasts up through the rafters and then out the top of Golden One Center, and they do it on a win, you know. And so my lady's like, I was really worried about that purple beam. I saw that one night and I started praying, you know. I gotta stop cracking on her like that, you know. But it's funnier than hell. I mean, it's like I don't know, it's like bizarre shit. It's like the witch trials, you know, when like people start speaking in tongues and shit because they got dosed with like ergot, you know, in the wheat, you know. And it was a bad wheat harvest that year, and the fungus clung to the harvest, and once they started ingesting the breads with the wheat, they started hallucinating, tripping balls, and speaking in weird, you know, just hallucinogenic fashion. And so the settlers just decided, well, yeah, that's definitely a witch, so let's go burn her, you know. But in fact, they were just tripping balls. So, but my lady, I guess, she's, you know, when she's driving in the evenings and stuff, and she would see that purple beam, I guess she thought that was it. That was a sign of the apocalypse. Fucking pray the blood of Jesus. Let's fucking go. Like, I get it, you know. But, but this kind of helped dispel a lot of her fears. And she doesn't listen to this podcast anymore. If at all, ever. So I'm not too worried about her, you know, being embarrassed by this. But it's funny. I think it's funny. But, it was the Hawks in town, the Atlanta Hawks. And, it was 10 days before my producer daughter's birthday, but I thought, fuck, let's go. We're going to go. We're going to enjoy. We're going to absorb a lot of the energy. Let's fucking do this. Have a good time. You need it, just be there, you know? And, you know, I mean, I don't really have the attention span to really be a real scrutinizing NBA honk of sorts, rather. But I am the type to sit way up in the nosebleeds and drink a can of beer, you know? And I did. So that was... But we got it. It was good. It was fun. And I was surprised... I should take that back. They had some good food there. I think that they really cater to the restaurant scene outside, because it's kind of in the they call it the downtown commons. They call it Doko, the Doko area, where you walk outside, there's like you know, all the yuppie kind of bar and grill type thing. You know, it's all the same shit. It's just wrapped differently, but it's still a good, it's a fun environment. You know, you get out of the game, it's like 9:30, 10 o'clock, and people are wandering the streets. It's a good energy. And so, yeah, I'd knocked back actually a few cans. And then
We made our way to a after hours place. When we got out, it had some, well, I had another drink, but it was cool. And we just talked. We just kind of rambled on, you know. I'm going to go again. I'm going to bring the boy. I know he's been there before, but I just, you know, he's like, I want to establish, like I say, a situation where he just comes up and can chill and just kind of hang out in the hookah tent in the kitchen and, really just kind of come and go as he pleases, as he sees fit. And then if you happen to be there during the game, Monday night, Sunday night, whatever, go take a little stroll on down to the Golden One Center, you know? But it was fun. It was cool. I don't know. It was, we were so high up, like there was only two rows left. And, man, if I had taken a header, boy, I just would have kept going. It would have just been like ass over end, over ass, over end, just like all bad. And, but it was kind of center court and we looked right down on top of everything. So I just wanted to find something that wasn't kind of all on one side or the other. I wanted to divide it up and catch it from the side view. And it was good. It didn't disappoint. Mike Bibby was there. He was at the game signing autographs and stuff. That was kind of cool. I forgot he was like an NCAA champion. I think he went to Arizona. I think. And, but that was cool. He was taught. I mean, I remember seeing him back in the day when they were still playing at Arco, but walking by him, I mean, he's taller than I thought. He comes off shorter on the TV, but he's got to be 6'2".
I don't know. Let's find out. This is All Sports Radio coming at you from Elk Grove, the town that has no elks. Let me see here. Mike Bibby. Real clutch dude. Real clutch player. Born May 13, 1978. Yep. Bibby played college basketball for the Arizona Wildcats, with whom he won the 1997 NCAA championship. Yeah. Drafted second overall. Yeah, he's 6'2". He's 6'2", 200. So, yeah, we're virtually like, it's like looking in the mirror. But, yeah, it was fun. It was a good time. A good time was had by all. I shouldn't encourage drinking, but I'll tell you this, when you have a couple of cans of beer in you, it gets to be more exciting, it gets to be a little more fun, you know, and shit just starts floating to the surface, start talking about, you know, kids and preparing for kids, because they want to have kids, her and her boyfriend. But I think she mostly spends her time just gnashing, just grinding his balls into the dirt, because they don't really, he doesn't take her anywhere. So, you know, that was kind of another excuse to kind of, drag him out of the house. And then when she got a Coors Light in, down the hatch, boy, it was like, you just start hearing things. You start listening to grievances. Like, it's time to air your grievances. It's like Festivus, you know, the airing of the grievances and stuff. But it's okay. It's what it is. It is what it is. You know, that's part of the energy. Part of the energy is, worrying that, you've let demons out because the purple beam that's coming up from the center court there is communicating. Summoning. It's probably summoning. But it's all part of the package. It's all part of the whole ball of wax. You know, you get the drinking, the drama, the lighting of the beam. You know, my lady probably went home and after I fell asleep, probably, you know, created a little kind of a stick effigy as some kind of sacrifice to the beam. I don't know. Fucking, it's, you know, people deal with drama differently than other people. And I just think that was I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what she was telling me. But theoretically, if you'd seen this, say, 6 months ago, and then you see it most every time that the Kings are in town, I don't know if you would start piecing that together, or if you would just like, oh, there's that beam again. Like, are the demons back? Should I start praying blood of Christ and get my rosary? I think she said she even had a rosary. Like, she's not even Catholic, man. But it was, it was a good time. It was a fun time. It was a little wild, a little funky, a little awkward, a little uncomfortable, a little drunken, we were up there at elevation somewhere up in the rafters. It was a good time. And it was a lot of, I don't know. It reminded me a lot too, like the people that I was looking at, like, cause I'm naturally a people watcher. I was watching the, people like that who seem to be at or near high school age or just beyond high school, maybe a couple years separated from high school, beyond, and just looking at their body language and looking at their interactions and stuff. Like, one guy next to me, I think his girlfriend was pissed at him. She was nice looking too, and he just, I don't know what was wrong, but I don't know. It seemed like, I don't know. Everyone else was kind of going back and forth, you know, walking in front of us, walking down the aisle. Like, we were at the end of the aisle. We were seats 1 through 4. So you always had to, if somebody was coming in or going out, they had to cut. We were the gatekeepers, but it's all good. It's fun. It's like a binding experience, right? All that together, just the goofiness, the weirdness, the blood of God, blood of Christ type shit, kiss cams and, you know, tall cans and all that shit, man. My main problem, unfortunately, lately, I think I'm getting just too comfortable with interacting with, I don't know, maybe a go-between with the donors and the nurses themselves or the phlebotomist, you know? Because I'm a chatty person and, I like to BS and talk about whatever. And so you just start making small talk, chit chat, these girls. Hey, what was your New Year's resolution? I think I'm going to try and do 10 pull-ups. Hey, how's your pull-ups coming? How's your progress? Where are you at? You know, or, well, like, for example, like last Friday, I was in the Fair Oaks Donor Center, and usually I get all their donations before they close. And there's always like one straggler. There's always one, you know, guy late to the show, late to the game, right? This old guy. And I thought, fuck, okay. So, but it was just whole blood. It takes 10 minutes, 15 minutes tops, you know. And so I could wait, even though I had to get out of there. I was just, long story short, the guy, they couldn't stick him because he had like
piano wire for veins. I'm like, what's going on? And, you know, everyone's kind of making that, you know, you only get a couple of run throughs because if they're not, if they defer you, they're going to defer you because you're dehydrated or you're high blood pressure or whatever. And then the virtue signaling, sense of entitlement comes out, and they either shout at the poor girl who's doing the interview for the blood donation, or the nurse, or the phlebotomist, or they manage to drag them back there, like this poor old fart, and they couldn't stick them. They couldn't get it. They don't want to do double sticks. Because if they do, they got to file reports on that. You know, people are passing out and stuff like that. But this little guy, so he got the Heisman. He got rejected. They shut him down. They put him in the booth, but they just couldn't stick him. Like I say, I mean, the dude's working. You know, his veins are like shoelaces, right? You know, and not like the good ones. It's, you know, it's more like those kind of funky brown and yellow ones. You know, and so he kind of left sad, dejected, and I asked the charge nurse. I said, "What happened?" She just said, "I don't know." She'd mentioned something about him, just because they couldn't get the vein or something. Or like, I said, "Well, what did?" She just goes, "Like sometimes they're just too old, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, TikTok, bitch," and I shouldn't say stuff like that, right? But I also asked, when you stuck them, did like some dust come out or what happened? But I got to stop saying shit like that because it's not funny. I mean, it's kind of funny, but I like to joke it up with the girls, you know, I like to laugh it up, you know. I mean, one time I went into Elk Grove's donor center, they had three people pass out in succession, virtually the same time. It was like watching bowling pins fall over. And it's not them, but it's just, you know, I mean, it's the nature of the beast, I guess, if you're donating blood. You know, there is that possibility you're going to pass out or shit yourself. Like, I've had some of these women tell me, like, people go in the bathroom, shit all over themselves, fall off the toilet, you know, lock themselves in, they can't get in. Or just shit, you know, they move their bowels right out there on the floor. Like, I'm like, what? Like, this is not the right promotion tactics to get people to, you know, donate blood. But it's a fun time. It's a good time. But I've got to be, I don't know, I got to rein it in a little. People, I don't know people feel like they can just kind of air it out, you know, air their grievances. Like I'm, as if I'm, you know, like I'm a Hallmark card for Festivus, right? Like they want to bend my ear, tell me about their neighbor, tell me about, you know, how the business next door is a pole dancing class. And then when they went over to go peek in the crack of the door, they could smell like the cheap perfume, you know, or like, or like the fact that, like, the other day I was in Sierra Oaks and they've got these things in there called strippers, and they name their strippers, and I can't, but the strip, all it is it's a hand tool that strips stuff. It strips down, it strips like, I think gauze tubing or IV tubing and stuff like that. They call them strippers, and they give them stripper names, you know, like Chastity, and, you know. So, I'm like, fuck yeah, that's funny. Hey, who gives a fuck? It's funny. But, so again, it's like a, it's a, like, you know, like I was telling you about the girls up in Placerville, they're talking about soggy boxes and stuff. Like, the boxes get wet, the soggy boxes. We have the soggy box song. It's just, that's how we roll. That's just what happens, right? And I got to reel it in. I got to take it down a notch, you know? I got to be more professional. You know what I mean? Or do you? We now switch over to our live feed as we join John while he's driving. So, as I was saying, though, basically I'd knocked back, you know, about 3 tall cans and a double back at the after hours joint. And the whole notion or the essence of the evening is that I feel like the floor of a taxi cab right now. But I do that with deliberation, because if I go even keeled eating the same thing alternating every other day, and my gym routine is static, and everything, you know, my sleep routine is static, and everything's great, and things just keep moving along, that, to me, is bland. So you got to knock yourself down a peg every so often, right? Just tie one on, you know? Like, that wasn't my intention. My lady actually surprised me, because she is not supposed to be drinking. But she suggested it, and I'm not opposed to tipping back a few every so often, and that's what I did. And in the end, you wake up the next day, and you climb out of that hole. You know, you hose yourself off, and then you start maybe a little under baseline, right? But here we are, climbing back out of that hole, living life, just one bumpy step after another. And that's all I got for you today. I got to make this turn here, so I got to go. I'll talk at you later. Arrivederci, babies.